Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It is Friday, July 10th, 2026. Boy, the 21st just gets ever so close. And with me on the phone, United States Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Rodney Glassman. Welcome to the show, Rodney.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
The candidate for Arizona Attorney General. You bet. And no stranger to Mojave County. You have a lot of contacts here in Mojave County, don't you?
We do. I'm very fortunate to have the support and endorsement of Congressman Paul Gosar for our race for Arizona Attorney General. I'm proud also to have the support of my very, very good friend, Mojave County Supervisor Sonny Borelli, who, as we were talking off the air, I've had a servant's heart for a long time. I've been a lieutenant colonel in the United States Air Force, JAG Corps, now as a reservist, but a prosecutor and in the Air Force for almost 20 years now. And when I was in law school down at the University of Arizona, my wife and I decided that I would run for city council. I served on the Tucson City Council a lifetime ago. And back in 2009, when I was on the Tucson City Council, there was a retired gunny sergeant in Lake Havasu City on the Lake Havasu City Council. And that's our good friend, Sonny Borelli. And I have to give him credit, Paul, because of all my friends across the country, all the supporters that we have, all the wonderful endorsements, including Congressman Gosar, it was June 14th, the president's birthday.
Right, Flag Day.
The day after Sonny Borelli endorsed me for Arizona Attorney General, he texted his endorsement to the president, and next thing you know, on the president's birthday, sometime between breakfast, the UFC fight, and the president signing that Iran deal, President Trump actually reposted Sonny Borelli's endorsement of my candidacy, Rodney Glassman, for Attorney General, on the president's True Social page. And we owe it all to Sonny Borelli in Mojave County and almost 20 years of Air Force service. So very proud of the support and the friendships we have in the River Cities.
Yeah, we first connected on this call, and you brought up a name even older than that, who used to host Speak Out, by the way, Mr. Dave Bell. How do you know Dave Bell?
So we are traveling the state because, remember, the Attorney General doesn't work for the legislature, and the Attorney General doesn't work for the governor. In Arizona, we elect our Attorney General, and that means the Attorney General is supposed to work for the people. And just like I was in Lake Havasu City Monday, and just like I was with Congressman Paul Gosar, who's endorsed our candidacy in Kingman on Tuesday, we're down here today calling from Graham County. We're getting ready to go and visit with some voters in Safford. And so I was down in Dave's studio because what makes me unique, Paul, is that not only am I the only Republican running for Attorney General who has experience as a lawyer, Lieutenant Colonel in the Air Force, I've been a private attorney, as a commercial litigator and a plaintiff's attorney now for almost two decades, but I also have spent a significant amount of my life in grad school and in undergrad and in the business community outside of the great state of Maricopa. And we need to elect an attorney general that's going to represent all 15 counties and be responsive to voters in all 15 counties. And that's why I think that we're getting the kind of support that we're receiving in our race for attorney general.
All right. And Dave Bell, I haven't even talked to him on social media in forever. He kind of went a little bit to the other side, the left. But anyway, I digress. You've been hitting that pretty hard during this campaign about your opponents. You say lack of experience as an attorney. I'm going to go ahead and let you have the floor on that.
Well, so remember, the attorney general is the chief law enforcement officer for the state. Mm-hmm. And with, if your listeners visit my website at rodneyglassman.com, what they'll see is that I'm a lieutenant colonel in the United States Air Force JAG Corps Reservist. Now, when I put on my uniform to go out to Luke Air Force Base,
yeah,
I run the active duty legal office of over 25 JAGs, paralegals, and support staff who provide all the legal services for the one-star general and the squadron commanders. And I've been a prosecutor for over 20 years, drug dealers and financial crimes, working with the FBI and the Department of Justice and all the municipal jurisdictions around the base. But I'm also a private attorney. Why does that matter? Because in the attorney general's race, experience matters. My Republican primary opponent is a turned-out state legislator and a part-time realtor who's 50 years old, but he got his law license just 28 months ago. So he's never had a client as a lawyer. He's never filed a lawsuit as a lawyer. He's never prosecuted a criminal as a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And he's never worked in a law office as a lawyer. And if Republicans nominate a candidate with zero experience as a practicing attorney to run against this, to run against Chris Mays this November, all we're going to get in November is 4 more years of Chris Mays. And we can't afford that because Arizona's a Republican state. We elected President Trump by over 5 percentage points, but we have an insane Democrat attorney general right now who sued the Trump administration over 42 times in the last 16 months. She's suing farmers. She's suing the hefty garbage bag company. She's suing property owners because she doesn't think that landlords should be able to decide how much they charge their tenants in rent. And as we talked about off the air, Paul, I'm married almost 20 years, raising 2 teenage daughters, mm-hmm. and I'm running to protect Arizona's cops, Arizona's kids, in Arizona's prosperity, and that's what we need as our next attorney general, someone who knows how to enforce and prosecute. Otherwise, how are we going to enforce Arizona's election laws? How are we going to make sure that the legislature is writing laws that actually make our community stronger? All of that rests on an attorney general that has the experience to do the job.
Okay, you mentioned the courtroom experience. I want to talk about the dynamic of a possible Democrat governor and a possible Republican attorney general. Now, from what I understand, Katie Hobbs has potentially 3 lawsuits or investigations against her for misdealings or not appropriate actions either before she was governor or as governor. The pay-for-play, we know about in that. And Chris Mays has done nothing, but there's, you know, like you said, 42 lawsuits against the Trump administration when there should be an active investigation, at least one, in my opinion, against Katie Hobbs. Give me your take on that. Would you go after the governor if you're the Republican attorney general?
Yeah, as the attorney general, I work for the people. I don't work for the governor. So which means that if there are investigations that need to happen, I will do them. I'm going to be the attorney general is the one that roots out waste, fraud, and abuse. You know, you had the gubernatorial candidates on earlier, and they all talk about rooting out waste, fraud, and abuse. But, Paul, in addition to running the largest law office in the state with 400 attorneys and 1,000 support staff, guess how many investigators the governor gets?
Uh-oh, another guy going to ask me questions. I don't know.
The answer is zero. There are 60 gun-carrying, badge-carrying investigators who don't work for the governor. They work for our elected attorney general. So if your listeners want to have someone that's actually going to investigate and prosecute gubernatorial misconduct, wouldn't it be smart to nominate the only Republican who's actually investigated or prosecuted anything? My Republican primary opponent hasn't even prosecuted jaywalking before. Zero time in the courtroom as a prosecutor, as a lawyer, and that matters. But, Paul, you're asking about my willingness to investigate and prosecute the governor regardless of party. The answer is yes.
Okay.
But I'm going to give you another example. Do you remember COVID?
Of course.
Remember during COVID, we had a great Republican governor. We had a Republican governor during COVID who shut down the gyms, who shut down the churches, and who shut down the restaurants, and there was only one statewide elected official that could have filed a lawsuit over the Republican governor's illegal executive order, and that would have been, once again, our attorney general.
The late Mark
Brnovich. If you don't have an attorney general that's worked in the private sector, that's worked for clients as a lawyer, that has prosecuted criminals before, then you're not going to get the kinds of decisions and action that you want from the person that you're hiring to be your attorney. You're married, I'm married, You have one daughter. We have two daughters.
I was married. Let's clear that one up.
Well, then you'll appreciate my analogy because I describe the attorney general as the wife or mom of government. Because think about it. Who's in charge? It's the attorney general. The attorney general is the one that can wake up in the morning and she does this and decides she hates cops or decides that she thinks that boys should compete against girls or decides that she doesn't think that police officers with probable cause should be able to pull someone over and ask for their citizenship and their driver's license. Chris Mays is insane. We all agree about that. But the question becomes, how do we defeat her? And you have listeners across the river cities with their ballots sitting on their kitchen table. Mm-hmm. And I pose the question. If your listeners or you were hiring an attorney to protect your family, to protect your kids, to protect your business, would you ever hire an attorney that had never had a client before? And if the answer is no, then it's easy. You go to my website at rodneyglassman.com. You can learn about my experience as a practicing attorney, as an Air Force JAG, as a corporate attorney, as a commercial litigator, as a plaintiff attorney. Everyone says how conservative they are. Mm-hmm. I'm the only guy running for attorney general that has a picture of my wife and kids on my website. So it's not just a matter of what comes across through my mouth. It's the track record that I have. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of my track record. I'm proud that like President Trump and like President Reagan and like you, I left the Democrat Party. Mm-hmm. I left the Democrat Party June 16th, 2015, the day that President Trump came down the escalator, as we were talking about off the air. The Democrat Party that I was a part of has gone insane. Meanwhile, I was inspired by President Trump because he was a businessman, because he was a private sector guy, because he had a track record of working for the kinds of things that we care about. And in this Republican primary, I'm the only Republican that ever even wrote President Trump a check. So you look at my background, my focus on family, my focus on serving as a prosecutor, my focus on serving the country, and the fact that I'm the only Republican running with experience, because we need someone with experience that's going to protect our cops and our kids and our schools and our jobs.
I want to open this up to the listeners as well. As long as I don't get filibustered by Rodney, we're only doing down to 11:30, by the way, Rodney, just so you know. And then I've got Council Candidate Neil Tinsley coming into the studio for about, 22 minutes or so. So 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR is the number. Or you can text us at 928-727-5566 if you have a question for Attorney General Candidate Rodney Glassman. And I want to talk about the poll numbers, because that's the baffling part to me. I really thought this race was a lot closer than I saw recently, but your opponent has a pretty good lead. How do you interpret those numbers? And they just came out this week.
There's push polls all across the state. The reality is, at this point, only 10% of Republicans have turned in their ballots. Mm-hmm. The realistic numbers is it's 50% undecided. My opponent is pushing polls where he's leading the respondents in different directions. He's also got a campaign right now with a political action committee that's funded by the mobile home park industry, that's funded by the vape industry, running negative attack ads. And Paul, what's so great is that even though they're spending millions of dollars attacking me for the fact that, like President Trump and like President Reagan, I left the Democrat Party, the undecided swath is still huge. So even when they cheat and try to create these numbers that are artificially inflated, even with the cheating, it still shows that no one has made up their mind, because it's a conundrum, because it's gotten so negative. I'm talking about the fact that he has no experience, and then he attacks me for being a Democrat.
Well, now
I talk about the fact that he has no experience, and then he attacks me for it's just, it's insane.
Hold on, Rodney. You're not immune to attack ads here, because you've put out a few of your own. Hold on. I want to ask the question first, okay? I'm talking about working with the governor. You know, your opponent is the president of the Arizona Senate. Of course, he has to work with the Arizona governor. He has to work with the attorney general on something, I would imagine. I don't know. I'm not the president of the Arizona Senate. But isn't that hold on. Isn't that a little disingenuous as far as an attack ad goes?
Not at all. In fact, it's the reality of the situation. The Arizona State Senate president is the one that negotiates the budget with the Democrat governor, Katie Hobbs. They just passed, Warren Peterson and Katie Hobbs just passed the largest budget in the history of the state. There was no pushback. There was no delay. And part of that budget, Paul, includes the millions of dollars that Chris Mayes then uses to fund her lawsuits against President Trump. We did not see a single effort by Warren Peterson to add language to the budget that would have prohibited suing the administration, that would have put guardrails on that spending. And whose job is to do that? It is truly the state Senate president. And because of the fact that he doesn't have experience as a lawyer and is in that leadership role at the legislature, he even just put something on the ballot this November that was designed originally to defund the teachers union and keep them from negotiating with government agencies. Mm-hmm. But he didn't read it before he put it on the ballot. And so now there's language in the November ballot that's going to stop our police and firefighters from being able to fight for their wages and fight for protecting their families. It comes down to the word experience, Paul. And yes, there's another ad that we have out now because I'm the only Republican running that talks about family. My primary opponent left his wife and five young children, which I don't talk about that choice, but what I do talk is that he then immediately went to the state legislature in his leadership role and ran legislation to try to cap spousal support and alimony. That's using a position of power in an inappropriate way. And so, yes, we are talking about his track record of the past 5 years, and in order for him to attack me, he has to go decades back to before I had kids, to before I worked in the private sector, to before I served in the military. So I think looking at when these decisions happened and the lives that we lived and live today are critical. So Arizona voters know that they're putting someone in office that they can trust will do the job.
Well, in his defense, he also married. Now he has a blended family, and as I understand, it's, you know, I don't like to attack level. I don't even want to go there.
It's not a matter of the family, Paul. It's a matter of what did he do at the legislature to punish his former family and to punish women and to punish kids in the state. It has nothing to do with the personal choice that he made to leave his wife and five kids. The question was, what did he do at the legislature in his position of power after?
Okay. What is your view on Arizona's role in enforcing immigration law, and what legal tools do you think the Arizona Attorney General should use? Obviously, we have an Attorney General now, Chris Mayes, who is totally against the ICE raids, and that's something that Arizonans have supported, at least in the rural communities that I know of, wholeheartedly. I don't know of anybody, at least in my circle, even among people that I don't necessarily share the same political views with, they still don't think that illegal aliens should reside in Arizona or be allowed to stay here.
100%. The reality is that President Trump has done a great job of securing the southern border. I was just down there with our Maricopa County Sheriff, Jerry Sheridan, who's the chairman of our campaign. I was visiting with Congressman Gosar about it this week because obviously, you know, he's a big champion of our campaign. But what happens at the border doesn't stop at the border, and we still have in Arizona way too many illegals here inside the state, and we need to support federal law enforcement. One of the ways we can do that is by having an attorney general that supports our local law enforcement. Our police officers need to know that they can pull someone over with probable cause, ask them for their driver's license, check their citizenship as a part of that process, detain them if necessary, and support our federal law enforcement. But in order to do that, we need to have an attorney general, the chief law enforcement officer, that has the backs of police officers, that protects and defends qualified immunity. And that goes back to my service as a lieutenant colonel in the United States Air Force JAG Corps, because I am a prosecutor, and I've prosecuted drug dealers. I've prosecuted people not only for doing cocaine, but distributing cocaine. It's crazy that we live in a state where, you know, that Arizona is one of only two states in the country where our fentanyl deaths are up because we have an open borders attorney general who doesn't care about protecting local law enforcement, because right. local law enforcement needs to be able to do their job. And that means an attorney general who's going to work with the county attorneys who support law enforcement and is going to be the backstop, because we have municipalities in Arizona, like the city of Phoenix and the city of Tucson, where when a police officer pulls someone over, the thought that goes through their head is this the decision that's going to end my career? Because we don't have elected officials at the statewide level mm-hmm. that have law enforcement's back every time. That's why I'm proud to have the endorsement of not only our Maricopa County Sheriff, but also the Yavapai County Attorney, Dennis McCrane, who, like me, is a veteran. He's a lieutenant colonel in the National Guard. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, Mojave County Supervisor Sonny Borelli, the retired gunny sergeant, is such a big advocate, because he's a champion for law enforcement. And he knows that putting someone who's been a career prosecutor as our attorney general to protect mm-hmm. our cops is so critical when it comes to fighting illegal immigration.
It's such a fine line, your guys' endorsements. That's why I don't like to talk about them so much, because Biggs endorses your opponent. I believe Trump endorses your opponent, but...
No, he has not. President Trump has not made an endorsement in this
but
race.
Let me get to the point. You have other conservatives that have endorsed you as well. It's such a fine line, as I say, but I want to get to one more question. Do you know of any current lawsuits involving the state of Arizona that you would have to assume control of?
Yeah, right now, Chris Mays, the Democrat Attorney General, mm-hmm. has filed 42 lawsuits against the Trump administration. And on day one as Arizona Attorney General, I will withdraw Arizona from the 42 lawfare clickbait lawsuits that Chris Mays has filed against the Trump administration. I will also rescind the political indictments that Chris Mays has been making against good Republicans who are President Trump's allies, who she's trying to destroy and put in jail simply for supporting the president. And Paul, you're right. Endorsements. I'm proud to have Congressman Gosar. In fact, Congressman Gosar has endorsed Andy Biggs for governor and me, Rodney Glassman, for attorney general, because he says we're the two Republicans that he trusts will actually know how to do the job, and he knows our families and he knows how we are. But I'll tell you, I'd urge your listeners to just ask themselves the question, do they want to nominate a candidate with experience as a lawyer to defeat Chris Mays, and then actually answer the phone as their attorney general? Because yes, everyone's got endorsements, but only one of the two Republicans running for AG has experience, and that's me, Rodney Glassman.
Yeah, there's two other, I'll bring this up for you. There's two others that I respect. Karen Fan, of course, former Senate president, and, she's Fan Construction, right? Is her company or her husband's?
No, actually her husband, or her brother, Mike Fan, who's also a big supporter of mine, owns Fan Construction. Karen was in the transportation business.
Out of Prescott. I actually dated a woman who works for, I'm not sure if she currently does, but that company, a very impressive company concrete-wise. You know, they do the concrete abutments and that sort of thing. But I want to mention, too, Tom Horn. How did you get Tom Horn's endorsement?
Well, Tom has been a friend of mine since back in 2008. We met when I was on the Tucson City Council. Tom is the former Arizona Attorney General. Tom's the superintendent mm-hmm. of schools, and as you probably know, the Department of Education, which Tom runs, has no attorneys. They're staffed by assistant attorney generals. So if you have listeners who care about education savings accounts and care about school choice and care about keeping boys out of girls' sports, mm-hmm. the person in charge of doing all that is our elected attorney general. And Tom knows that if we nominate a Republican with zero experience as a practicing attorney, all we're going to get in November is four more years of Chris Mays. And that's why I'm proud to have his support as well, because it's about experience.
Okay, we're a little bit over, so I definitely didn't shortchange you there, Rodney. But tell me and the audience once again why people should vote for Rodney Glassman as Arizona's next attorney general. Why should they cast their primary vote for you?
because we need to fire Chris Mayes, and the only way we're going to beat Chris Mayes is November is to nominate a Republican with the most experience. I'm a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force JAG Corps. I'm a reservist. I've also been a private sector attorney with a wife and kids. You can visit at rodneyglassman.com. So if we want someone committed to faith and family with actual experience as a practicing attorney to defeat Chris Mayes, I ask your listeners to vote for me, Rodney Glassman, in this Republican primary.
All right, very good. Rodney, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. Are you there?
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity.
You're probably listening to the Queen that's on right now, right?
Yeah. No, I love it. I appreciate it very much.
My assistant handed me a note on this date in music history. 1977, Queen released the We Will Rock You, We Are the Champions combo in the UK. It was actually a single. The two songs made a single, and it became a stadium anthem. So there you go. You're a big sports fan, right?
Love it. I'm a hockey guy.
Are you?
Yeah, big time.
Well, what happened to your Coyotes, man?
Well, I still play twice a week, and it breaks my heart.
Oh, no kidding.
We didn't have elected officials willing to fight to keep that team in town.
Right. Well, Golden Knights didn't do too badly. That's my former hometown. So
that's true. You guys are lucky. You can still drive to hockey games up there.
I don't know. I don't call myself a you guys anymore when it comes to Vegas. But anyway, thanks for joining us on Speak Out. I really, really appreciate it. And we are going to take our first break of the hour and go ahead and we'll come back. I believe he's here, Neil Tinsley, for City Council. Anyway, thanks, Rodney. Appreciate you being here.
Thanks for the time, Paul.
All right, you bet. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. And, couldn't believe it. Rodney mentioned Dave Bell. I was pretty surprised. So, all right, stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. All right, we're back on Speak Out. That's Neil and I were at the mercy of some music, so I think I can bring it up now, though. This is a good thing because it's related to this date in music history. Yes, I know. What? I understand. I just mentioned that on the air. Thank you. All right. She always wants to draw attention to my mistakes because she's a fledgling board operator. So anyway, welcome to the show, Neil. Appreciate you.
How you doing?
Thanks for being here on short notice. David Bowie, on this date in 1969, this is pretty interesting, actually, released Space Oddity, and that beat the moon landing, which happens 9 days later. Pretty crazy, right?
That's cool.
So we're coming up on an anniversary of the moon landing.
Nice.
Right. I was alive for that, but I don't remember it. So Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, by TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center in Bullhead City, and Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo. And yes, their pizza is endorsed by yours truly. Have you had it yet? Oh, you can turn it up right there on the side. You hear it now?
Yeah, now it's better.
Great. Awesome. Yeah, somebody was wearing, if I remember, hearing aids the last time that was used. So. I don't know. Anyway, but you're in a professional. This is a little bit more casual interview. I don't have a bunch of questions in front of me. We're going to go where you want to go, where the listeners want to go.
Okay.
Okay?
I love that.
So you're running for city council. Are you a native of Lake Havasu City?
Yes, born and raised.
Born and raised here.
Yes.
That's wild.
Yeah.
You know, there's a bar in Vegas called Born and Raised.
Absolutely.
Right?
I've been there.
Isn't that wild? B-A-R?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could be the owner of that. But so you've seen a lot of changes in Lake Havasu City.
Yes, absolutely.
Talk about it.
A lot of changes I've seen. You know, we're kind of drifting away, I feel like, from the grassroots of what Lake Havasu, you know, originally has been growing up here. I hate to say it, but it's getting a little bit more Californianized, right? Which a lot of my friends are from California, and they're good people and everything, and you know, we enjoy them, you know, coming out here and visiting and everything, but I'd like them to leave their politics over there.
In a perfect world, we would all like that.
Yes.
But that's very difficult to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So, just, you know, growing up here and seeing, you know, some changes, like, you know, the town could be a little bit cleaner. I'd like to see a lot, you know.
Wow, like, really?
Yeah, I mean, like, you look at downtown right here. I mean, they're, since we've started saying stuff at the foundry meets and stuff, you know, I've, I did notice they started cleaning stuff up. But our landscaping, we can get a little bit more on top of as far as that type of stuff. You know, we're lacking on the infrastructure. Our roads are a little bit tore up, you know, over the years. We really haven't put enough of a percentage of the budget towards them, I feel.
You know what's funny about that? And I don't mean to interrupt, okay?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Go down Smoke Tree right now. It's perfect. That's right around the election.
Yes.
Isn't that wild?
100%. It's funny to watch every election season. You start seeing if other candidates are talking about stuff, they start doing it, right? And it's just politics, really.
You open up the paper today, Fire Station 7.
Yes.
They're breaking ground. I'm like, oh,
25
wow.
years later.
There's an election coming. See what I mean?
You know,
it's absolutely. Just pretty funny.
Yeah. And you know, I'm grateful that fire station is going in there. Like, we definitely have needed that for a long time. Very, very proud. And actually, talking about that fire station, getting on to another subject that I would like to, you know, bring up is that was done by qualifications bidding instead of having to accept the lowest bidder like we always do, right? And in our bidding processes for the stuff we have done for our capital improvement projects.
What is qualifications bidding?
So
I don't understand.
What they get to do is instead of going with the lowest bidder, they get to interview and audit these different companies that want to submit bids and make sure that we get the most qualified person to do the job instead of the cheapest. Because the people that I've seen that are doing it for the cheaper prices, we end up, you know, they're pretty good at it, because I've noticed they keep doing...
Are you saying we're getting what we pay for?
No. No, they keep doing change orders, and we end up paying more than if we just went with a qualified person in the first place.
Okay.
In first place. Mm-hmm. So, like, it was really nice to hear when they... Because I was there, and they announced that they had a max budget for it. And that was amazing to me, because a lot of these projects we see go way far over budget, because what they do is they're like, hey, yeah, we got this project. Here's the, you know, the plans for it. And then they'll bid stuff and leave stuff out. I feel like on purpose. So that way they have to come to council for a change order, right? And they're like, hey, we need this much more money. Well, what's council going to do? They're already, you know, all the way deep into this project. They're not going to, they almost can't say no. Right? So they know how to kind of work the system, and I don't like that. And that qualified bid process that they did on that fire station is amazing. And I think that we need to do every project the same way.
Yeah, I read on that story that it had a max cost.
Yes.
Or max price,
yep.
They used the word price.
And I love that.
$8.2 million.
Yes.
I thought that was it. So does that mean it's not going to go over 8.2
million? It won't go over.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Even if we're short, you know, a couple of commodes or whatever.
Yeah. They will not go over. And they can't short it because they agreed to those exact plans and everything.
Right, right, right.
So it's amazing. You know, no matter if price fluctuation happens, they're still locked in at that price on that project. And that'll, I think, and honestly, those contractors seemed super qualified, you know, and just a good group of people to work with. So I think that the bidding process, we need to look into that a lot more than just the, you know, running the regular bids and taking the lowest bid. I think find qualified people and have those caps so that way we're not always going over budget.
I got you. Recently, we've talked, so many people have talked about the Main Street Commons and that. What happened with that project? What went wrong, in your opinion?
Change orders
again.
Yeah, it's a simple thing. And to be honest with you, like, I just can't, I can't see how they justified almost $5 million into that project. Like, it looks like crap. And even the metal structures for shade, if you look at the concrete, they're cracking. They weren't even engineered right. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, those were done by Mansell, right?
No.
Oh.
That was done by Concord.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I thought you were talking the big structures?
Yeah, but the engineering for the concrete and everything underneath
of it.
The concrete's cracking.
Concrete.
Yes.
So
the metal structures.
So was it rebarred correctly?
I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the engineering plans.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, and I'm not an engineer, but I
You play
cracking.
One on the radio?
No, yeah. You know? But I could find one.
what would your priorities as Neil Tinsley, if you win a council seat, what are your priorities to bring to the council as a pet project?
As a pet project? more than anything, I'm trying to bring fiscal responsibility. Well, I'm going to make sure our property taxes ain't going to go up.
Well, we always talk about this person's been on the council for this long and hasn't done anything. This person this long hasn't done anything. You know, that to me, that's a pet project or a lack of.
I'll tell you the first thing I'm doing is I'm going to take Go Lake Havasu. I'm going to bring it in-house. We're going to leave the visitor center because they do a good job. I think it's a nice, you know, thing down there by the bridge. And then bring PED in-house. Both Bullhead and Kingman have theirs in-house, and I just feel like they've been slacking. You know, just like I've told plenty of people, there's a guy, online metrics alone, there's a guy with a jet boat page and a freaking iPhone outperforming the metrics of Go Lake Havasu online.
Wow.
We pay them 1.6. That guy does it for fun. All right. Like there's tons of stuff we could do to really grasp a hold of this and get better results. That's going to be my main thing that I do right off the rip. And then once we do get that in house, if I can, I'm sure if we get in, we got the majority vote, I think that's going to definitely happen. I think that once we have control of that, I want to bring industry to Havasu. What does industry also bring? More tax revenue, right?
Right.
That saves us from having to up people's property taxes because we're running out of money. You know, they had that projected 5-year, and it was supposed to be, you know, 1.6 left in the million left in the reserve. They're spending more money than we can't keep spending like this. This is ridiculous. They approved $303 million this year, right?
Right.
Where's all this money going? You got 3% going to our road infrastructure? That's nowhere near enough, but if we line item this stuff, I'm sure we could cut down some stuff. There's a ton of stuff. Like our, you know, we're spending like, I think it's like $10 to $12 million a year for our IT.
No, I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's just so much spending that is just not, I can't justify it in my head. I'm a business owner, so I know.
I think some of that, and I might be wrong, has to do with the re-information technology, whatever they call it, the reconfiguration of the police department.
Okay.
They've done different. There's, you remember when the police department you couldn't get through on the phone line?
Yeah, I do.
It
remember
was a 2-day period.
Yeah.
That was part of that. There was a company that came in and redid a lot of their
for $10 million.
No, I'm not saying it was just that. I'm saying the whole city is going through an information upgrade.
Yeah.
So that might be that. I don't know. I would have to have somebody call in and explain that, or we'll ask the city when they're on next. So let's go ahead and take a short break. I want to open this up to the callers. We're going to take an extended break. I'm going to turn the next two breaks into one, and that way we can go right up to the top of the hour and take phone calls, texts, whatever you guys want out of Neil Tinsley, all right?
Let's
He's here.
Ask me those hard
questions. Always hearing all this stuff or reading about all this stuff on social media.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all these keyboard warriors, right?
Call it up.
Tell us what's wrong with Havasu. What would Neil do, all right? That's what we want to know. 928-854-5687. 928-854-KNTR. Dude, why do you think it's called Speak Out?
Yeah.
All right?
Absolutely. Love it.
That's exactly why they named it Speak Out. And judging by the tats and that, I'm guessing you like Social D, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Little social distortion. Bad luck. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. Oh, the text number, 928-727-5566. See that? It's Friday, Neil, right? Songs like Old Dominion, Hotel Key, perfect.
Yes.
This reminds me of somebody who actually collects hotel keys. No, it's personal. That's all I'm going to say. All right, Speak Up brought to you in part by The Chair. Also, Mojave College by Solar Power by Esme Electric. Also, Dorita's Place for Pets, Legacy Rehab and Care, and A&B Propane online at abpropaneaz.com. And the phone rang while we were on break, and then I picked it up, and it was dial tone. So, I don't know. Hopefully, we didn't get butt dialed, right?
Yeah.
Can I say that? I just did.
Yeah.
All right. So you do have a question or three on the KNTR text line. And the first question, ask Neil about bonding. How do you feel about using bond money for certain projects? Maybe explore that option.
I think, honestly, I mean, that's debt, right? And I think that should be our last resort if we would need it. I think fiscal responsibility, we shouldn't, I mean, we got a $303 million budget. I think we can handle this stuff. We got over $30 million set aside for that second bridge, mm-hmm. you know. I think as long as we keep our fiscal responsibility accountable, I think that we wouldn't really need to pull a bond. But, I mean, it's always there if you need it, worst case scenario.
It's funny you mentioned second bridge because that's the second question. Your take on the second bridge, the funding, and I want to ask you, I haven't asked anybody this, possible name for the second bridge.
Right. So I do believe that the second bridge is absolutely a necessity. Being in the towing industry, we had an accident on the bridge. It gridlocked everything downtown.
Right.
Right. Safety reasons, everything of that nature. I do believe that a second bridge is absolutely necessary. And then as far as, you know, the bridge, I mean, Leo Biasucci is the one that secured that funding for me, for us, all of us, right?
Uh-huh.
And I think Biasucci Bridge has got a ring to it, right?
So I love it.
I appreciate everything he's done for Mojave County. He's got our 95 repaved. We were just chit-chatting earlier about, hey, what, you know, people get in and what do? That guy has done a lot. And that he's a Havasu hometown guy.
If Gary Myers doesn't call in, I will be amazed. And I'll call it the Biasucci Freedom Bridge.
Yeah.
How's that?
Well,
that not too bad.
A ring. Freedom rings, right?
Not too bad. All right. I don't know how Leo feels about that. You know,
yeah.
When things are named about you or named after you and you're still alive, right?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, that's true, right?
Right. Coach Barnes had an opinion on that, but I don't remember what it was exactly, but he was a little kind of blown away when they did that with the football stadium.
Yeah.
May he rest in peace. So, what else about Lake Havasu? You talk about, you know, the old days, growth, this and that. You know, there's a city near us, Boulder City,
yep.
who has a moratorium on growth.
Yeah, I'm
is that
very familiar.
Something that you would think about with Lake Havasu City?
Right now, currently, so.
I'm talking about future island development
future,
here.
In the future, possibly, but right now we're lacking some infrastructure that is going to hold us back from getting certain things, right? We're kind of at that.
What kind of infrastructure?
Industry for jobs, you know, okay. and to meet the metrics for certain retail stores that we need to get here.
Okay.
My goal with a lot of that, right? So everything kind of works together. Right, and the metrics that retail stores look for is full-time jobs, which we don't have a lot of because it's a lot of retirees in this town.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that attract? It helps attract the healthcare professionals to want to stay here, right?
Absolutely.
And so it all kind of works together. Now, once we got that happy medium of that, and you know, say we want to cap our town, you know, at a certain, just like Boulder, you know, you only allow so much growth. I think that could be something, but that's probably going to be my guess. That's 10 years down the road, right? And we might even be running out of land anyway. So
you talked about Go Lake Havasu and that, but keep the visitor center where
yes.
it is, open, operating, independent, whatever. What about the Partnership for Economic Development?
I would definitely bring that in-house. I just, you know, I know they've done some stuff, but not the stuff that I want. And
what do you want?
I want more industry. I want better paying jobs here. You know, you're not going to change the housing market. I don't care what anybody says. You can't build houses any cheaper. You know, private investors are going to make their money regardless, right? And so you're not going to change the prices of housing. But what you can do is change the jobs, you know, the
economic scale.
Yes.
Sure, sure.
So, and at the same time of getting, you know, bigger corporations in here with industry jobs, you know, even local mom and pop shops are going to have to pay more to keep employment, you know, or they're retain their employees, because why would they not just go over and make $25 over at the Amazon warehouse, right?
Sure.
You know, so it the jobs have never paid well here. That's why I moved in the first place when I went to Vegas for 10 years. And so that is something huge to me, because I lost 10 years of my life here with my parents, right? And time is the most precious thing you have. You can't buy it. You can never get it back. I didn't get to spend 10 years with my parents, while I was in Vegas. And I would have loved to have that because I cherish every moment with them.
We did get six kids out of it, though.
I did. I got six kids.
I'll get a little personal here. What is that like, feeding six kids in this economy?
Well, it's about $5,000 a month.
So, and you're a business owner.
Yes, absolutely. And, I don't think if I wasn't in the positions that I'm in, I don't think I'd be able to afford six kids. It's a lot. And honestly, I mean, they're pretty ranged, from 19 all the way down to 8 months right now. And it's a lot of fun. It's definitely never a dull moment in my household. And that's another key reason of why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm fighting for their future here as well. I don't want them to leave. I really don't. My 19-year-old, he's grabbing the torch on the window tint shop. I mean, he's kicking butt. So, I mean, I'm literally creating, if I have to, I will create businesses for my kids to run to keep them here.
So we're just under a minute. Tell people why they should vote for you, Neil Tinsley, as their next city councilman.
Logical solutions, and I'm a guy that looks at the whole picture. I don't just I'm not narrow-minded. I'm not just going to, Band-Aid something. I want to make sure that when we're fixing things, it's not just for short-term, it's for long-term. I'm very clever in the way my brain works. I make sure that if it's not going to have, a domino effect on something else, right? So just logical thinking, leadership. I'm a veteran. I have military work ethic, so very structured.
Open door policy.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, John Grappentine on the program on Monday. Join us then. Neil, thanks for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.